doing with the Magna Carta? She responded by assuring him that it was hidden in her flat in London, and then launched into a fairly short but impassioned speech about votes for women and the rights of women and so forth. He replied with, "That is just one of the many reasons I love you, darling." "Darling?" He called her darling, I queried. His exact word. And then, my dear doctor, the conversation ended and was replaced first with some warm and loving phrases, then progressed to the obvious sound of exchanges of physical affection, and a few minutes later to what were clearly the sounds of a conjugal relationship that was not only passionately romantic, but well beyond wildly erotic, athletic, and of unlimited animal instincts. For a minute, I was speechless. "Holmes, I'm shocked, shocked. Are you saying that this apparently pure and chaste young man and woman, servants of the church, were carrying on an illicit relationship? That's appalling." I confess, my dear Watson, that I was thoroughly surprised as well. Even for a professional detective, the continuing loud and earthy sounds were too much to be endured. I still am an Englishman and a gentleman, even if you sometimes think that I fail as both. I had to remove myself from the bushes, enduring another round of thorns, and retreat to my room. In the morning I returned to the Abbey grounds and observed our not-so-chaste young devotees emerge from their respective cottages as if nothing whatsoever had transpired during the night. "Well, Holmes, you've walked yourself into a regular stunner here, haven't you?" "Indeed I have, but it has handed me a card to play that I never expected." "And what card is that?" I asked. "Why, blackmail, of course. Perfectly legal, mind you. Tomorrow morning you and I will travel up to Bury and confront the would-be nun and demand that she either turn over the charter to us, or I would expose her scandalous behaviour to her family, the church, and the press." "Why, if you did that, her life would be ruined." "Precisely. She would have no choice but to comply." I thought for a moment, and then gave my friend a hard look. "Sherlock Holmes, I know you, and I know perfectly well that you would never, indeed, could never, make good on such a threat. It would be a violation of your moral principles, and you do have them in spite of your attempts to pretend that they do not exist." Holmes returned my look, and then his face softened into a warm smile. "Ah, my dear.